working hard and busy as that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, kind of get ready.
Something that's never been a problem in that years. Tradition of boats that, you know, long range boats that are refitting to overhauling and crews on that stuff.
Right.
Now they're saying I can't have my crew.
Oh.
What the hell? It's an ongoing tradition.
Yeah.
Longshore.
It is.
I mean, the two boats in San Diego, they always got some guy hanging around and keeping an eye on things when everyone's on shore taking care of it. Trying to explain that to people that don't.
Welcome, audience. Welcome, audience at home. This is the May 5th meeting. Pardon me?
It's Cinco de Mayo.
Go. Okay. This is the May 5th regular meeting of the Harbor Advisory Board, the City of Morro Bay at 209 Surf Street, Morro Bay, California. You can see here we do have a quorum. Ron Reisner is absent, and he called in and told us he would be gone. So everyone else is here. At this point, we'd like to have a moment of silence. Bow our heads. And Lynn, could you lead us to the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you, Lynn. Okay, so I think at this time we'd like to go down the dial here to see if we have any announcements. Alan, I think this is appropriate as an announcement, actually.
I got this from the Saving Seafood site, East Coast Fishermen's Advocacy Group, and the news is that NOAA is to reduce monitoring requirements in the new season for East Coast fishermen, which we have an item on the agenda tonight, speaking of the need for that same thing here in Morro Bay and on the West Coast in general. They've gone from 100% observers, and in the new season it's going to be down to 14%, which will be a substantial increase in net profit for any fisherman fishing under that regime.
Thank you, Alan.
Also?
Yes, Alan.
We had a successful blessing of the fleet. I was blessed. Many other people were. Boats were blessed, the Coast Guard and the Harbor Patrol. Looking forward to a prosperous new season.
Thank you, Alan. Lynn? I have one thing to report. The Friends of the Morro Bay Harbor Department, has purchased a new lifeguard tower that's going to be installed at the changing area by the intake at the Rock, and we're bringing it down from Santa Cruz this week and painted it, and it's going to be kind of like the master lifeguard where people can come, and it's the headquarters for the lifeguards. So I think that's going to be a good addition to the lifeguards and the City of Morro Bay.
Morro Bay Oyster Company is working on putting together quarterly bay cleanups. We currently do monthly cleanups of the bay, in which we patrol the shoreline and collect debris and garbage. A lot of residents in Los Osos will contact us if they have anything that's washed up on their shores. We've offered our boat and services in the past to anybody who has something, even if it's not oyster gear, it can be unrelated, and we typically will go at the soonest high tide and remove that for them. So I wanted to let people know, if they want to get involved, that they can contact us at Morro Bay Oyster Company. You can just go on our website, morrobayoysters.com, and that has our email and phone number. You can contact the National Estuary Program, and they'll be updated to our patrols. And so if somebody wants to join one of our quarterly cleanups, feel free to volunteer. Otherwise, if you are collecting trash and happen on anything, please contact us, and we'll come collect it. Thank you.
Thanks, Neil. Dana?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Neil. Yeah, I do have a couple things. On the overhead, you see a flyer for our summer sailing program that the Morro Bay Yacht Club puts on. It's part of our community outreach. It's part of our mission statement to promote boating in our area. And what we do is we have these sailing classes all summer long. You can take two consecutive weekends, or you can do a four-day class Monday through Thursday. There's a big phone number right there. And we have been pretty successful with this. It's really a fun class, and it's how we also get members into our club, get interested in this. And I will segue into a scholarship for that was created through the Morro Bay Youth Sailing Foundation, along with Legends Bar here on the corner. They put on a fundraiser for Avery Danley, who passed away. It was a memorial fundraiser, and they wanted the money to go to a boating, exactly what we're doing here, this scholarship for summer sailing. So what we're going to be doing is an open house at Del Mar Elementary School for all you Del Mar Dolphins that are watching right now. We'll be set up with a table for the summer sailing program, and we'll be doing a raffle. We're going to give away two scholarships for the summer sailing program, and then you can pick your dates, and you do not need to be present, and the raffle is free. You just come in and sign your ticket and go from there. So that was a good way to memorialize a tragic incident there, and we were really happy that Legends put this on. One other thing is, by the way, that open house is on May 26th at Del Mar, and it will be at 5:15 till 6 o'clock is when that's going to be going on in the main multipurpose room gym. Also, at the Morro Bay Yacht Club will be hosting the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary, putting on their Safe Boating Week event. And that will be on the 21st, yeah, in 2 weeks from this weekend. And Friends of the Morro Bay Harbor Department will be there, and the Harbor Department will be there, and the Coast Guard will be there, and I believe the sheriff, and I think Fish and Game will be there with their boats. So everybody's going to have their boats at the docks for tours. It should be a pretty good event this year. We're hoping they're doing kind of outreach to all the scouting and other youth groups, they're doing a poster contest, I believe, in the schools beforehand. So, yeah, more boating stuff. Thank you.
Thanks, Dana. Alan?
Where do you sign up for the raffle?
Well, it's specifically for children, sir. I think you're just a little bit out of the age group that they're looking for.
You're blessed.
I must say you look blessed.
Do you want to learn how to sail? Is that what it is?
It's during their open house at Del Mar School, and what they have is we've been invited for a number of years. We've sat at tables. Lynn and I both have been there, and what they have is they have their usual open house. They go look at the classes and everything, but then they have organizations that have events during the summer displaying and talking to people so that, you know, these kids know what's going on around town for fun.
Okay. Thank you, Dana. Anything else? Okay. With that, do we have any public comment? I see a couple of people in the audience here. Would you like to come up?
Yes. Hello. Advisory panel.
And your name, sir?
John Gillespie.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure glad this organization's here because I feel there's an important liaison with the city management that they need information to because they may not be familiar with marine operations. I am right now falling into the cracks of a code enforcement situation on the North T Pier. I've received two penalty fines for a liveaboard without permit when no permit is available. This has been an ongoing, my operation's been going on for 9 years as it has now, and then even before that. And it's, I thought I could establish with this panel the understanding that this is a tradition of offshore long-range vessels and their refit off-season activities, and the fact that they would disappear for 5-6 months out of the year and take part in these long-range operations that we don't really work like a lot of the other boats around here. So the city hasn't really, before it never seemed to be a problem. But now it's starting to be a problem, and I think they need to be apprised of the situations of the traditional methodry of the commercial fishing fleet ongoing for many years, tuna boats and long-range vessels moving in and out of ports and from Alaska to San Diego without this type of impediment that flies right in the face of operations and is alarming with the rate of penalty that is accruing, and I can't get work done, or I don't feel like I can plan to get work done, and I don't quite know what to do, and this is why I'm here.
So have you discussed this with the Harbor Office?
Yes, I have. I've edified them on exactly what I've told you and more, and I don't think they have an avenue of action to take without perhaps this board recommending to the city to recognize the situation as an okay thing. It's been this way for years, and you know, it's vestigial code enforcement. You know, is much like many other laws. I mean, I think there's still laws in the books for the size of a cane you can beat your wife with. And of course, we know that would be unacceptable. And here is another code enforcement that seems to be arbitrarily enforced. Again, this tradition in the long offshore fleet, you know, I can remember being part of this fleet back in the 60s.
Time is up.
Sorry, that's one of my favorite subjects.
Okay, no, I understand.
On and on.
So thank you very much. Jeremiah? So one thing on a point of, I received this letter here from Kenneth Kahn, tribal chairman of the Chumash people. I would like to enter this into the record of the Harbor Advisory Board. Is that something that I can do, Polly?
We can do it for the next one.
If it's something you've received from the public, certainly you can receive it as a public document.
Okay.
So nothing we can do with it at this point, unless you agendize it and want to talk about what to do with it, but you can receive it, certainly.
Okay. So I'm receiving this from Kenneth Kahn, tribal chairman of the Chumash in San Ynez. I don't think I can read it unless...
No, I'd probably say not unless you want to future agendize it to have it on.
So I'd like to just keep that into the record that I received this. Yes, Alan.
Totally unrelated, but not unrelated to John. I know on the agenda we're going to talk about the...
Excuse me. I know on the agenda we're going to talk about the work plans, and one of those was the municipal scrub of the code. And there was an item that seemed to have gotten lost or forgotten on there where we were considering possibly having a certain number of liveaboard permits for the T piers. Before I left to go fishing last summer, that idea came up, and then nobody seems to know about it anymore, and that would have something to do with John's request, a possible avenue of so I don't know what the, when the I don't know if I can bring it up now, or I don't know if I can bring it up later, or
well, probably
so give
later.
Me some guidance on that.
Probably later.
Yeah. Future agenda.
Future. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. Okay. Hearing no other public comment, we'd like to go back to our public hearings reports, and this is the Harbor Department status report. Eric.
Yeah. First, if you want to go back to approval of minutes.
Oh, I apologize.
I'll give a quick explanation. These are not last month's minutes. These are not April's minutes. These are the minutes from back in March, which we had them done in the order of the agenda. But as you recall, the agenda got pretty mixed and matched around. So we approved the minutes in the order of the agenda. We really need to have the minutes be in the order the actual meeting occurs, even though it's mixed up. So these are the mixed up version, the actual order of the way things occurred. So it's the same minutes, just rearranged to match how they occurred. Yeah, the different colors are just track changes in word programming. Things are struck out and they turn red and blue and green and underlined for things that are added.
Okay. So Alan, you have something on the minutes?
Yeah, I missed the last meeting, so I was desperate to read the minutes before this meeting, and unfortunately the minutes weren't done. And so I went to try to find the video on YouTube, and that wasn't available either on the city website. So I called the harbor office, and Lori went through and found the YouTube, and it's at the bottom of the list. If somehow it didn't get at the right, you know, ordinarily a list will, what do they call it? You know, it'll orient itself time-wise. But instead of being at the top, it was down at the bottom. And so she called me back and told me, and I was able to watch the video, which is what I did for the last 3 hours before I came here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lori.
Okay, so A1, the consent calendar, we need to reapprove the minutes from the Harbor Advisory Board meeting held on March 3rd, 2016. Is that correct, Eric?
Correct.
Okay. Would anyone like to entertain that motion?
I'll make that motion to approve the minutes.
Okay, Gene makes the motion. Any second?
I'll second it.
Okay, Alan will second it. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? No. The reapproval of the minutes from March 3rd is approved. Now, this is something that I was a little concerned. Where's the April? I mean, that's gone. I mean, that's why I'm a little confused here. Eric.
We'll approve it next month. We didn't get through it internally. We didn't review it internally to be able to do it because we're busy. Had a little shortage last week, or week before last week.
Okay.
Putting this agenda together, so we focused on getting these minutes fixed, and we'll see the next.
All right.
You'll see the April minutes next time around.
Okay.
And this meeting. You'll probably have two sets.
All right. All right. Thank you. Okay, now we go to public hearings, B1, Harbor Department status report. Eric?
Okay, so I'll go through the roundup of things over the last month. Statistics to date for the patrol, we've had about 27 emergency responses, just over 100 calls for service, 5 days of small craft advisories, 4 days of gale winds. As you know, it's been a pretty windy spring, and 9 days of hazardous entrance conditions. On the 7th, April 7th, the Harbor Patrol, along with Morbi Fire, police, state parks, helicopter from California Highway Patrol, we had a climber on the rock that apparently made it to the top, proposed to his fiance, or I guess you propose and then you have a fiance. I'm not sure she accepted. At the top, with some sort of video link, and then came down on the eastern face and came down that very cliffy area and got stuck. So we ended up, fire department folks called in a helicopter to pick him off the rock because there's no real way to get up to him from below or above. And then later in the day, he was arrested for being under the influence of controlled and other substances. So an interesting day there that ended with that fellow going to the clink. He's probably going to end up facing the full charges of what it costs for all those folks to come out, including the helicopter, which is cheap. So just a reminder for everybody out there in TV land, don't climb the rock. It's not only dangerous. It can cost you a lot of money. April, throughout most of the month of April. On weekends, the USLA Lifeguard Academy was held by our Kyle Schaefer, our lifeguard program supervisor. We teach that in coordination with Morro Bay Recreation folks, as well as Cayucas Department of Recreation to train their guards and our guards as well. So successful academy. We, as a lifeguard program, didn't really need any new folks this year. Morro Bay's junior guard program did, as did Cayucas' program. So overall, good academy. On Wednesday the 20th, Patrol Supervisor Becca Kelly and Reserve Officer Kyle, who's also my lifeguard supervisor, attended a Marine Protected Area enforcement meeting, a collaborative meeting where the state's attempting to get all the different agencies involved with enforcement on the water and sort of lay out their views on how enforcement occurs on the Marine Protected Areas and how they want to engage the police departments and state parks and everybody else on enforcement of those Marine Protected Areas. Friday the 22nd, had a coastal incident response plan meeting. That's all us coastal incident responders from Grover Beach down at the south end to Cambria up in the north. We get together a couple times a year and just go over mutual aid response protocols and information and criteria and whatnot. So had that meeting on the 22nd with the Morro Bay Fire Department. The real issue of all these coastal responses usually turns into communications amongst all the different agencies. So working out how to fix some of those communication snafus, and we're also going to be updating the Dangerous Marine Animal Protocol, which is really our shark warning system. So I anticipate bringing that back to the Harbor Advisory Board sometime this summer. Saturday and Sunday, the 23rd and 24th April, was the 10th annual Kite Festival. You can believe we've been having that for 10 years now. Attendance, I think, was at all-time highs, as were the winds, at least on Sunday. On Saturday, a 60-foot kite broke loose, and we had to go rescue it from the bay. Fortunately, it didn't end up in the power plant's high-voltage lines back behind the plant. Nobody was hurt, but the kite was in a little worse for wear shape. Recent city council activity, been doing this regularly, but in deference to some comments from Harbor Advisory Board members at our joint meeting we had here a few weeks ago, trying to keep the board better involved or better informed of what the city council is doing. And as always, my door is always open if you're wondering the status of something. But I'll attempt to try and keep you updated here on the monthly reports. So at the April 12th meeting, the council voted actively not seek out any additional National Marine Sanctuary forums. That was a Harbor Advisory Board recommendation that the city council, the city of Morro Bay, promote or sponsor additional public forums beyond the NOAA forum that we received a few months ago. So the city council voted to not actively seek out any, but to potentially participate if the opportunity arose on a case-by-case basis. So if another group or organization or somebody comes forth with a proposal or a town hall meeting of some sort, looks like it's coming up here in the county, the council will weigh in on that on a case-by-case basis. On the 26th meeting in April, the city council presented Lisa Wise Consulting, which is Henry Pontarelli in particular, with a certificate of appreciation for all the work they did on not only the Morro Bay Fishing Community Sustainability Plan, which we did back and approved back in 2014, but really for submitting that plan to the American Planning Association for an award consideration, which it did win. It's a fairly prestigious award from APA. It was a 2016 Vernon Dean's Honor Award for an Outstanding Small Town Special Project Plan. Henry and Lisa Wise went so far as to apply for this award and actually went out to Phoenix at the annual APA conference to accept it on behalf of the city. So council thanked him, and we thank Henry as well. Also on the 26th, the council authorized staff to put lease site 8788, which is a currently off the hook restaurant under the Sea Gallery, out for public request for proposals and to include several considerations. One, that it have maintained a family-oriented site use. This is where there's that small little kind of playground area in the front with some rides, some coin-operated rides. So council wanted to see that use component maintained. Wanted any project proponents to include any sort of sustainability features that they could, and with water conservation and water runoff and electricity and other uses. Stormwater management, which falls into sustainability. maximizing the public benefit, which is generally always a definite consideration, and consider a phased approach into any water-side improvements. I know it's a fair amount of cost for folks to endeavor in this, so council's cognizant of that and not expecting necessarily a one-time out-of-the-shot build the Willandon water. It could be looked at in a phased approach. So council's direction was to get that RFP out within 30 days and then let it soak out in the public there for 45 to 60 days and then bring it back for consideration. So sometime late this summer, in August or so, we'll be potentially looking at proposals for that lease site, rebuilding that lease site. That current lease expires in, I think, March 2018, so a little less than 2 years left on that lease. And also on the 26th, not a city council action, but at mid-year budgeting, we were authorized to hire part-time administrative help to help us with our pretty substantial backlog of administrative things we're trying to do. As you know, we're still one full-time person down from when Rick Algert retired and then Sue passed, and we sort of rearranged our department. We're still full-time position down, so we're feeling that, and we're trying to keep up, and so we've hired another part-time person administratively to try and help. Person's name is Trudy Kyle. She comes in from City of San Luis Obispo. She works at Laguna Lake Golf Course, and she also has a private business of her own. But she primarily works out there in the golf course part-time, so we're going to be using her. She's in Lori's office, so we're shoehorning another person into our small office complex. So next time you're in the office, come say hi to Trudy. She generally works Monday through Thursdays in the morning from 8 to 12. Upcoming events, and now these are past events, but they're upcoming when I wrote this staff report. Blessing of the Fleet, last weekend on the 1st. I think that went pretty well by all observations. Commercial salmon fishing season opened on May 1st as well. Dredge Aquina arrived, as you saw, I think on either Sunday or Monday morning. And they're here through May 31st. In the dredging world, we're not only going to get that, they're normally they're here for about 20 days, so now they're here for 30, which is good. We get a little extra time. But Corps of Engineers is also looking at coming back in the fall for doing the whole rest of the channel. We got funding for that this year. Miracle Mile for Kids fun run from Morro Bay to Cayucas is on this weekend, 5-7. And Cruising Morro Bay Car Show also this weekend, I guess starting tomorrow, Friday. I think Friday evening they start and then go through the weekend. I've already seen a lot of those cars starting to show up. And Amgen Tour of California, so the Amgen Bicycle Race. Generally, it's always gone north to south. This year, it's going south to north. And they're starting a stage here in Morro Bay on the 18th. They'll be out at the Rock, so if you're going out to the Rock on probably the 17th on, expect some congestion out there with things starting to get set up. They start, I think, the race at 10 o'clock in the morning. They'll ride down Embarcadero. I'm not sure the exact course. Somewhere south end of Embarcadero, they're going to move up into the main core town and then down through town, I think, on Main, all the way on Main to the north end of town, then onto Highway 41. So it'll be pretty quick, but there'll be a lot of activity on the 18th in the morning and the 17th in the evening as that stage comes and goes. The organizer is pretty amazing. I mean, it's a whole army of folks that have, they just caterpillar their way up and down the coast, taking things down, setting them up, taping them down, setting them up. So it should be, while it's a huge impact on the town with a lot of folks and a lot of equipment and activity, it should go pretty quickly. And by noon, 1 o'clock on the day of, pretty much they're going to be gone. You won't see them anymore. And then one thing I forgot to put on here, but thanks, Dana, for bringing this up, the Safe Boating Week event on the 21st at the Yacht Club. So I think that's the end of my report.
A couple questions, Eric. I was under the impression that the city council was giving the existing leasor an opportunity to put a proposal together. That never happened.
So thanks for bringing that up. Good point, Bill. So on 87, 88, off the hook, yes, back in January, the council heard a proposal from the sub-lessee, Cherise Hansen at Under the Sea Gallery, and gave her 90 days to come back with a reconstituted lease ownership company with her in a primary or management or controlling role. The financial problems that current leaseholders had solved, and the financial plan to move forward on construction, approximately $2 million construction project, and get rid of the some other financial issues, and come up with a plan that would be acceptable to the Community Development folks and Planning Commission for approval. The current leaseholder had submitted a proposal about a year ago now, maybe a little longer, that's been stuck in the staff stages up at Planning and Development because it's not compliant and it wasn't getting changed. So those were sort of the three parameters that council put on it back in January. Charisse and her team worked very diligently, very hard. I worked with them a lot over the last 3 months. Unfortunately, she couldn't come to a satisfactory purchase agreement to buy into the company that owned the lease and work it out, and that was really the first sort of domino that needed to fall to start taking care of the financing, to start triggering all the other things. So we worked virtually, literally up to a couple hours. I had two staff reports ready to go. One, if they got everything together with blanks written in to send it off to get printed for the agenda to go to City Council, or another one if they didn't make it to recommend going the other direction. Literally within hours of Dana, the city clerk, needing those agendas to get printed to go to official posting, we were working with them to try and work it out, but they couldn't get there, unfortunately. It was a lot of hard work, but couldn't make it.
Thank you. Any questions, Gene?
Yes. Now that the dredge is in here, I think the boaters need to be aware that there are no channel markers on the entrance channels.
Yeah, great point, Gene. So, yeah, a lot of the red channel markers and a green, I think removed number 5, a green or 2 has been removed for the dredge to come in. So, yeah, if you're coming or going, don't expect the channel markers to be there. Call the dredge on Marine Channel 16 if you've got any questions. Be aware of where their dredging opportunity or where their operations are going on, and call the Harbor Patrol if you need to, or the Coast Guard. But don't guess where you're supposed to go if you're not sure. Dredge, they've got a big high perch up there, and if you're unsure if you're in the right spot or not, you can always call them. They can hail out to you, or the Harbor Patrol can come out, or Coast Guard as well. But yeah, good point, Gene. Thank you.
How long will the dredger be here?
Through May, I think. If it goes as planned, I think the 31st is their last day.
And they're just going to be doing the harbor entrance.
Primarily the entrance improvement project, which is mainly the entrance, and it's just outside. They will come out on the inside. They have enough time to get all the quantity they need to get on the entrance and then start moving inside to the sand trap and the channel in the narrows there at the Target Rock area, and maybe even come back as far as the North Tee Pier, but that's probably going to be about it. They'll work on the outside when the weather's good. If it starts to, the swell or the wind comes up, they'll get pushed inside because it's hard for them to dredge when it gets rough, so they move inside when it gets rough.
Okay.
No question.
Alan?
There was an area, last time I looked, I think they'd left the green buoy there, the one area where the red and green buoy were very close together. It was kind of difficult for me. You know, did they dredge that after they took the buoy out, or is that still that narrow there?
They're going to be dredging that.
But right now it's still very narrow there.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah, I wouldn't rely on it being dredged out there. So I think that was channel marker 4A and 5 zone through there. We got a lot of sand buildup from the Widow Wall surf spot zone, you know, the base of the North Jetty out. There's that, you know, the little beach inside the North Jetty on the south side of the rock. That channel marker there, number 5, had gotten wiped out a few times in several storms, but it also got heavily sanded in and it had to be moved every time it got wiped out and moved. So, yeah, that bar moved out quite a bit, and I doubt they've gotten to that yet. They've been working primarily on the entrance stuff.
Okay, any questions? Neil?
While on the subject, so they will be dredging over Widow Walls, that beach?
There'll be that sandbar that's built out. They will be taking cuts at it to get back the channel established where it is, because that bar is now encroached well into the channel. So, yes, they will be cutting at that.
Okay. Thank you, Eric. Okay. What we would like to do now is go into our business item, C1, and have an update from the Marine Services Facility Boatyard Ad Hoc Committee. Dana?
Okay, we met, well, let me go back. The big action that's probably been going on is, it has to do with the feasibility study. The council
okayed doing a feasibility study, but it's kind of on pause right now due to some interest from possible business coming in with their own plan or of how they would like to see a boatyard and how they would like to run a boatyard here. Since then, Eric and myself met with Terry Simons, who has spoken with the city staff, the city manager, and director of community development, Scott Graham, also. We decided that, or he was going to come up with some ideas by taking the plan that we have and looking at ways to maybe improve it, that his possible client, the Boatyard Channel Islands, would like to see to make it more profitable for them and better usage, the way they'd like to see it put together. So anyways, the ad hoc committee got together also just 2 days ago and met again with an updated plan that he had put together. And it was quite interesting, and I want to go into it because it's still evolving and it's not really something that the ad hoc committee wants to bring to the HAB quite yet. But I'm just updating you on the fact that we've had these meetings. An extensive amount of information is being brought forward that we would need for the feasibility study anyway, so I think it's quite productive in that way. We're going to continue on this path right now and see how much information we can get and where this is going and how much interest is out there. That's pretty much how it is right now.
So we're still on pause, and we're dealing just with one person, Terry. Is that correct?
We are dealing with this person, yes, who is a planner in his own right, and he's come up with some very, good information and drawings and just some ideas all the way down to, the big thing is he looks at insurance and liabilities and everything else and what you need to have. And so this is all good for us to – good information for us right now. So we would like to continue with a feasibility study parallel with anybody's interest, and that may be the case. But at this moment, we're just taking in this information and kind of getting educated and looking at some different options of how a better way might be to design this project. So that's kind of where we are at right now.
And I'll just jump in and add. So he's got this potential investor here, or developer here that's maybe interested. He met with us to get more information, get questions answered, look at the RM design and kind of square that away with his folks and see where they're at. He brought some drawings and, as Dana said, and some basic preliminary financial information. So he's trying to get enough information from us for them to be able to put together a full formal proposal, which we'll hopefully see. It sounded like, correct me if I'm wrong, Dana, I mean, they sound like they're wanting to move fairly quickly and determine whether or not the city's interested in entertaining their proposal or not. So I don't think this is going to take months and months and months. But they're going to try and develop a full proposal we'll probably bring to the Harbor Advisory Board first and then see if we want to make a recommendation to the City Council. So potentially it could be, if this does turn out to be a viable proposal and the city wants to go on it, we may be off to the races in terms of something concrete to put in front of the City Council. If that peters out and goes nowhere, then we'll go back to the financial feasibility and obviously be glean some good information from this process to feed into that. But that's where we're at right now.
Gene?
But you will put out a requested proposal to everyone at this time when they submit a proposal, correct?
I think that's yet to be determined. Yeah, I think the balance is yet to be determined. It depends on whether they've got a proposal or not, if they come up with something or not.
So in other words, what we're attempting to do, or at least the City Council's direction has been told to us, is that if this particular sole source has something that they like, they're just going to go with that?
We'll certainly consider it, yeah.
Yeah, I'll just say one thing, and that it does seem a little odd in that regard, but, I mean, anybody's open to make any proposal to the city, whether, you know, this person just happened to see this and was looking for this exact same thing and found it here and has, you know, the clientele that could possibly do this. So that's where we're at right there. But I don't think, you know, we're keeping a very good eye on that as far as beyond just this group. But at the same time, we're taking all the information in. And we're making suggestions, and also because we've made as far as our criteria goes, number one, you know, the character of Morro Bay, it's a do-it-yourself, it's got to be a do-it-yourself yard for sure. And, that's really important. And, you know, what kind of boats have here, what kind of expenditures different groups will be putting out. It's not the same as Southern California.
And I want to add on to Gene's, my answer to Gene's question. As you know, the City Council has not yet fully committed to this site or any other site for a boatyard, something that the Harbor Advisory Board has been trying to push for a while now. But the council, and rightly so, is wanting to see if competing uses, number one, we kind of looked at that with that mini master plan. Okay, it looks like everything will fit. But we're also, from a financial standpoint, not sure we're going to commit to it. That's why, okay, let's look at the financial feasibility of it. That process going on, it would be tough to put out an RFP right now based on we don't have full commitment and utilization of a site. We've got a potential site, so probably wouldn't get a lot of responses to something that's a maybe at this point. So these folks have just come out of the blue for us and engaged themselves because they know we're engaged on moving forward, and they're kind of coming at us at the other direction. So whether or not we'd eventually go to an RFP, yet to be determined.
Okay. Any other questions for Dana? Anything from the public on this matter? Okay. C2, update from the Finance and Budget Ad Hoc Committee on committee's recent activities. Neil?
The committee itself, we have not met together. I did meet with Eric and went over the beginnings of the forecast for this next year's budget. And I have some figures here that I can go over. I was going to let Eric kind of carry most of this update, but do you want me to go over the revenue totals and expense totals, or do you want to take
it? It's up either way, whichever you want to do it.
So
I'm happy to go either way.
I'll start it off here. We're forecasted here to bring in a total of $1,975,722, and this is for 2016. Eric, these numbers that I had today?
Yeah, 2016-17.
17.
The next fiscal year.
So our expenses are looking like $1,965,651, which gives us a total of $10,000 roughly in the black. Last year's forecast was roughly $6,000 in the black, and then we had mid-year adjustments of around $40,000 in the positive direction. So this is better than last year, but still not a ton of extra money to go into, say, capital accounts. And this is where I'll let Eric start to talk about kind of the breakdown of this, and I don't know if you want to get into the percentages of how this breaks down. And
what's the revenue 1.9 compared to 2015-2016. For some reason, I have that same number in my mind.
Stand by. It's been slowly creeping up, you know, since the economic downturn in 08-09. Revenue's been slowly creeping back up. We went down to about 1.6 something at some point. 1.92 is sort of our high before the drop at the economic downturn, so we're kind of back up to status quo, a little above, as you know, because we had $275,000 a year in revenue from the outfall lease, which is no longer there. So we've, you know, if we had that still in our budget, we'd be, you know, 2.2, 2.3. But since we don't, that we're back to that historic kind of $2 million benchmark is pretty significant. Past year's actuals, of course, we don't have this year, the year we're in right now. Last budget year's actuals, 2015 actual revenue total was $1,970,000.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So.
And change.
Actually went down.
But our revenues have come in historically over estimated. We're actually at $1,975,000 right now, so, you know, 5,000 more than last year, not a lot. Our actuals, I don't have my, in front of me, my estimated was for last year, but it was significantly less than $1,970,000. We came in better than what we estimated. So while we're balanced to $10,000 in the black, I'm still, knock on wood, confident we'll bring in more revenue than what we're estimating. So hopefully put a little more than $10,000 in the bank. But like Neil says, we're have quite a bit of capital need, and you know, when we had our outfall lease revenues of, it was $250,000 for a number of years, and it bumped up to $275,000 in the last few years. You know, when we went in the economic downturn and we went North T Pier, patrol boat, several other big projects, we really started eating into that, because we had about $1 million in the bank in the accumulation fund. We've been eating at that for the last 7-8 years doing these capital projects, because we were making a lot of excess revenue because of that outfall lease, and now we're back on even keel. The keys to the future for us are going to be retiring the South T Pier loan, $135,000 a year, increased revenues from existing sources, making sure we're at cost recovery levels, and we're maximizing utilization of our lease sites with redevelopments and new revenue sources along the waterfront, and so we'll be looking at those things. I think, you know, 5 to 7 years out. I think our South T Pier loan's got 7 years left on it. So in the 5 to 10 year, in the 0 to 5 year range, we're pretty thin. I think we'll be slowly climbing back out and putting a little money in the bank. It's in the 5 to 10 year range where we're going to start socking away more money and be able to really go after the project. So it's still going to take a while. We're not out of the woods yet. Percentage wise, just if you're out of curiosity, then I'll just cover the capital. Budget percentage-wise, like most governments, our biggest cost is our people, because we're mainly service. We're people that we provide things. So our personnel budget, which includes pay and benefits and standby pay and overtime and all those other things, is 54% of the budget. Our supplies, which are... I'm sorry, sir.
That's right. Supplies are pipe clamps.
No, our our supplies, fuel, office supplies, uniforms, all that kind of stuff, 4% of the budget. Services, which includes legal services, consulting services that we engage, trash. Our big ones are disposal, trash at $56,000 a year. Insurance is about $61,000 a year. Outside equipment repair, that's our basically everything we do to fix our boats and vehicles. That's a big one at $55,000 a year. Those are our big ticket items. Legal services, $75,000 a year. Those amount in total to 18% of our budget. Debt service on that South T Pier loan, $135,000. That's 7% of our budget. 2% goes to our lifeguard program, so they're pretty thin, pretty lean and mean. Cost allocation is 14% of the budget, so that's a big chunk of cash. And if you add those up, you'll come to 99, but don't be alarmed. I'm not pocketing the 1%. These are rounded numbers, and some are rounded up and some are rounded down, and so it's actually 100% of the budget. And on the capital end, which is why we put this ad hoc committee together in the first place, not much for the committee to do from the capital world this year, mainly because we don't have a lot of extra money to spend, so we don't have too many decisions to make or anything to confer on. What I am going to engage the committee on moving forward into this summer is looking at our capital schedule and revising it, updating it, make sure it's taking a good look at what it needs to look at and is making realistic not only cost estimates but realistic lifespans of the capital facilities and equipment that we're looking at. But until then, you know, after this year, I put in for certain capital projects that I had to pare back on because my revised available in the accumulation account was less than I had hoped for. So it's showing that we're burning down those reserves to take care of some of these bigger projects. What's on the list for this coming year are still the Beach Street slips north and south. Put somewhat on hold, just kind of waiting on the boatyard thing. But now that we've got RRM's design and probably going to be pulling out, if the boatyard occurs, it's going to happen in there, so we can design around sort of a tinker toy approach. We won't design it so that something has to get irretrievably torn out for a boatyard haul-out ways to come in. We'll design it in such a way that that'll be either moved or reused somewhere else. So those two items are still on there. $340,000 for the Beach Street North slips, $225,000 for the South slips. There's still about $55,000 in the boat repair storage yard capital project that we've just been picking at here and there. The market analysis came out of there. RRM's mini master plan design came out of there, so we're keeping that on the books to have a funding pot to keep that project going. Fish cleaning station this year, we put in $25,000. To try and do some upgrades on the fish cleaning station, mainly trying to enclose it to keep birds and animals apart, or birds and humans apart, sorry. We got a cost estimate on that that came in about double to do that, and I think I announced it a meeting or two ago. We did get notification from DBW that our lunch ramp project, the $1.7 million project, is partially funded in the governor's budget this year. The way they're doing it, and they're doing all their large capital outlay projects now, is they'll fund the permitting and engineering up front in 1 year, because it takes, you know, roughly a year to get through those permitting type processes and engineering processes. So we got $250,000 in the governor's proposed budget. Assuming that survives his budget and then gets Boating and Waterways Commission approval, we'll be off to the races on that one, where DBW will be coming back to us, refining the project. And that included rebuilding that fish cleaning station. So kind of knock on wood, I'm a little hesitant to spend a ton of money on that fish cleaning station if in a year and a half, we're going to come tear it out and redo something completely different. So we'll be seeing how that goes with DBW as the governor's budget gets developed here in the next month or two. So that may become available as time goes on. We'll just see how that goes. Ice machine, this is all new capital project, but all grant funding at this point. We got $40,000 from the cable committee for maintenance on that machine this year, and I'll be applying next year for another grant. We're going to intend to keep going back to the cable committee. Cable committee largely funded that when it was built in the, I guess, early 2000s now. Also got a substantial amount of money from the Coastal Conservancy, but I'm going to be going back to the cable committee to keep the annual maintenance on that going. The lease site holder there, Santa Monica Seafood, is on the hook for a substantial amount of that ice machine repair and operation as well. So more of a partnership with that, in that they're not on the hook for all the maintenance. The city's on the hook for a good portion of it too, and we're going after grants to take care of that. And the last thing on my list is South T Pier repair. So last year, it might have been late 2014, we got an engineering assessment on that. Fortunately, the pier had no major issues. Has a fair amount of not great fender piles, but fender piles are just fender piles. They're not structural, so until they fail. There's not a huge worry with those. Fender piles obviously protect the pier, and we need to keep protecting it. However, commercial fishing boats are a relatively low threat from the pier getting knocked down by one of them, so some deteriorated fender piles are not a huge issue, but there is a fair amount of cross-member and a few other ladder and other issues we're going to be looking at. So we're putting $20,000, which is a pretty thin amount, proposal to put on that pier for this year. As I said, I'm going to try and get with the committee through the spring and summer and better develop our capital program, because we really need to spell out into the future what it's going to look like to fund that.
Thank you, Neil, and thank you, Eric.
Yeah, and furthermore, then, you can see with that, you know, 5 years out, things might look good as at least the rest of that payment falls off for the South T Pier, but something else that I think that our ad hoc committee is going to need to look at strongly, as well as probably the board, is other sources of revenue for the city. So just want to make that note.
Which is on our goals and objectives.
Right.
I think we
got quite a bit of direction and through the goals for our ad hoc committee to start tackling, and we'll be doing so momentarily.
Okay. Update from the Eelgrass Ad Hoc Committee. Lynn?
We do not have anything to report right now.
Okay. You have a question, Neil?
No, I'm going to add one thing.
I told Lynn I wasn't going to add anything, but I am. Senate Bill 1363, I mentioned it at the last meeting, I believe, or within the last few meetings. It was put forward by our senator here in our district, Senator Monning, and it's been amended. It's now called the Ocean Protection Council. It's a creation of the Ocean Protection Council regarding ocean acidification and hypoxia reduction program. And that blanket title now is really referring to eelgrass funding different science and action to be taken for the restoration of eelgrass and the science to find out what's going on with the changes that have been occurring all over California. So there will be funding available when we've met with the NEP. They've been having trouble getting funding for some of the research they need to do to kind of solve this problem here in our estuary. And the Senate bill, which has gone through two committees, the Environmental Committee was the last one that just went through it. Now, because of the size of the budget, it's going to require, I think, over $150,000. It's going to go to the Ways and Means.
Appropriations.
And then after appropriations, it'll go to the Senate floor to get voted in. So the oyster industry that I'm a part of, we put forward some letters of recommendations for changes to the language that we thought would strengthen it and also possibly include some of the things that Morro Bay might need in the future. We don't know what of that will get taken into an account, but we look forward to hopefully seeing what comes out the other end. As it is, even if they didn't accept the changes, it's very strong. There's just, as an oyster farmer, we get a little scared when legislation gets written that might cause a problem for our industry, since we work so closely with this marine protected species. So anyway, that is something to keep on our radar, and I've been making phone calls and reaching out with Department of Fish and Wildlife, and at this point we're still just collecting information, and that's what we have nothing to report on yet. The status of other banking operations, we're trying to look into the timeline of them or the legitimacy of them and find out what is actually going on, and if we can pull resources, we'll do so. And that's
it. And Neil, is there any opposition to that bill that you know of? And do you
opposition?
Know chances of it? I mean, money aside, I guess money is always going to be a big thing, but do you know what its prospects are for passing?
I don't
support it has?
I don't know of any other opposition than the letter that we wrote, which was not opposing it. It was just requesting some additions to just a little bit of language change showing that shellfish farming was a supportive industry to the species. And so I think if anything, it might just be budgetary if it has a problem, but I don't know any other opposition. Doesn't
Alan,
mean it doesn't exist.
You have a question?
For either one of you,
you mentioned the title of the bill was ocean acidification and hypoxia. Is that right? Is that a theory that that's what's causing it?
There was a study that was published recently that concluded the findings that it's the acidification, ocean acidification has been an issue that the shellfish industry has been dealing with for about a decade now. I'm going to say 7 years. And it's been seen acidification has caused issues in the larval rearing of oysters with a higher CO2 content in the water or acidification of the water. The larva has had trouble going from larva to settling and building shell. It has trouble pulling calcium out of the water. And so that was one of the effects. That's what kind of got our attention as an industry, because the baby oysters that we all are counting on weren't producing. I mean, there was in 2000 and either 12 or 13, I planted zero oysters in my farm when I'm required to plant 600,000. And it's because I was unable to buy it from the suppliers because all their seed had died in multiple sets all year. They were trying to catch up. And so we had that really charged up the issue for us. And this bill refers to ocean acidification and hypoxia. Hypoxia is a lack of oxygen in the water. Eelgrass is a species that can aid in the replenishment of oxygen in the water and aid in fixing carbon dioxide in the water. So that's where eelgrass becomes relevant to solving the problem. It could become the solution to some of the health issues that are in the bays.
Oh, interesting.
Thank you, Neil. Very informative. Appreciate it. Lynn, thank you. Update from the Marine Sanctuaries Ag Hoc Committee. Ron's not here, and I believe, Alan, you have his report?
Yeah, he asked me to make a report, and I did that. The Sanctuary Ad Hoc Committee has not met since the last Harbor Advisory Board meeting. On April 12th, the City Council met and took input and discussed item C3, which was the Harbor Advisory Board's recommendation that the city host additional information forums on the implications of any national marine sanctuary being instituted along our coast. I spoke during the public comment period as a private individual, and I identified myself as on the Sanctuary Advisory Committee and a Harbor Advisory Board member and a commercial fisherman. But I wasn't speaking in that capacity as a Harbor Advisory Board member. I tried to convey my personal feelings about the importance of hearing the stories of the speakers that we've put together for our list. And I reviewed the video of the City Council meeting afterwards. It's always fun to watch yourself on TV, right? And I made a summary of the salient points that the various council members and staff made at that meeting. The harbor director suggested CMANC as a possible host for such a forum. The city manager pointed out the burden in staff time and other expenses hosting such a forum might be to the city. Christine Johnson attested to the willingness of the city to allow its facilities to be used by any organization other than the city for such an event. And the city manager augmented this idea by saying such an outside organization would not be constrained by the need to present an unbiased forum. Christine Johnson expressed concern that the city was not a credible host of an unbiased forum, given its expressed stance as opposing previous sanctuary and sanctuary expansion proposals. She was also not comfortable spending the council's time on something not on the city's stated list of goals. A majority of council members felt that since the issue involves a much larger area than just Morro Bay, that if such a forum were to take place, it should be as a countywide event involving all the jurisdictions. Noah Smuckler expressed the opinion that the list provided did not represent a balanced range of speakers. The end result, after discussion, was they decided not to proceed with any city-hosted forum at this time. I felt that their discussion was good, and I don't want to take exception with anything. I think that they all had valid points. Our city liaison, Mr. Matowetsky, did a good job of presenting our case and reiterated his support for us. I think at this time the thing is just going to lie there for a little while longer. I personally am interested in trying to get our fishermen's organization to try to sponsor something, and I'm not interested in having the people come and speak multiple times. So I would like to see something that is countywide, and I don't know if we're up to that or not, but that's my personal thinking. That's not really part of the report. That's where I'm headed.
Thank you, Alan. Any questions for Alan? Okay. Yeah, Jeremiah, public comment?
Good evening, Harbor Advisory Board, City Staff. My name is Jeremiah O'Brien, representing the Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen's Organization. And I just wanted to make comment that recently our Congress Lady Lois Capps did a press conference in Pismo, and during that press conference she addressed her support for the proposed Chumash National Marine Sanctuary. There was various people speaking there with her, but apparently there was no members of the Chumash, the federally recognized Chumash tribe present. So we do have a letter here from Kenneth Kahn, tribal chairman, and the letter is addressed to Congresswoman Lady Capps. I'd like to read that at this time. Dear Congresswoman Capps, the Santa Ynez Band of Chumash Indians recoil in disbelief about your public display of support of the Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary. It's interesting that a sanctuary could be named when this is coming right from the tribal chief. How is it possible that you can support marine life who are supposedly part of Chumash heritage and not support the actual federally recognized San Ynez Band of Chumash Indians, whose San Ynez Indian Reservation is in the middle of your congressional district? While the land of the Chumash people has been diminished to a mere 144 acres in the San Ynez Valley, how can you extol a marine sanctuary, the boundaries of which were stolen by military force from the Chumash people? Well, the now 144 Chumash acre Chumash reservation is in a riverbed in a swamp. You have repeatedly opposed the efforts of the tribe to acquire land for housing its members and their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Your opposition to H.R. 1157 to provide such housing for Chumash is a matter of public record. We ask that you not associate with any project that infers that you support any Chumash heritage, including marine life, until you can actually support the flesh and blood members of the Santa Ynez Band of Chumash Indians and their quest to provide housing for their members and children. Sincerely, Kenneth Kahn, Tribal Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And noted, that is the letter that I want to have in public. It's right here. Okay, any other discussions on the Marine Sanctuary? Gene?
Yeah, in reviewing Ron's report when he presented it to us, I thought he gave a very fair representation of pro and con the Chumash organizations of the sanctuary, and I was kind of discouraged, disappointed that Noah felt that it was a biased format.
Alan?
Noah was concerned that it was not, that the list of speakers was not a balanced list. So, and, you know, actually, there aren't very many pro people that want to speak about their experiences with the sanctuary. As far as I know, they're all negative, so I can't argue with that.
Well, also, the previous forum that they did have, that Noah came out, then they had people that were just, that was not bias at all. It was, so I'm not sure I understand why. Yeah, I think we've already made that point. Never mind.
Well, I think the point's made in is that I think this, as Alan said, is probably going to get tabled for a while. We'll keep the ad hoc committee in case any new news comes up, and then we can report. Alan?
I probably haven't done a very good job of expressing the chairman's views on this. We are going to continue to get speakers, and one way or another, they're going to speak. So I'll promise you that.
Okay. Neil?
Yeah, I would just like to see an update, because because we're not having a meeting, apparently we are, I'd still like to know, because this is going to keep moving forward, I'd like to know if there's going to be future opportunity for public comment, even if it's not here in Morro Bay, at some point when they're addressing the Marine Sanctuary, it'd be worth knowing when that's going to be happening, just keeping everybody in the public aware of that in case we need to travel somewhere and voice our opinion there.
Yeah, we're going to stay on top of it.
Regarding some of the goals, they're still on here as goals, even if we don't agree that they should be goals. So not sure how we should address those. I guess we just continue to move forward and try to resolve them somehow or other and go down it. The one thing that I guess that was missed is that we had a meeting, a special meeting, where we've set our goals and objectives, and somehow or other, those goals and objectives didn't get intertwined with the city's goals and objectives. And that was a little disappointing. I mean, specifically when Noah Smuckler, city councilman, questioned us why we didn't have certain things on as part of our goals and objectives. And we were under the impression that all these goals and objectives were handed down from city council down to us. So I think we missed something there. For instance, one of the things that, if I'm not mistaken, as their number two goal and objective as a harbor advisory board was the dredging of the harbor, making sure, or number three. So I don't see that anywhere here. So I think that maybe tonight we have an opportunity, because I noticed that the city council added other items to their goals and objectives. I did get a call from Mayor Irons, and I see some of the two things that he wanted to add. So maybe we can also add some of our goals that aren't included here as other items. So that's my comment on this. And Eric, I guess you're going to lead us.
Yeah, I'll do my best. So this goal objective setting with City Council and Harbor Advisory Board input is, and this is sort of my disclaimer, sort of a work in progress. The first year we've done it, you know, we had goals and objectives last year, a little more off the cuff, went a little more quickly with less Harbor Advisory Board or little Harbor Advisory Board input. Just trying to refine it, with the city manager trying to refine this process. And it's still not done. I mean, it's still under revision. We're still all learning how to do this. These goals and objectives in particular, and it may still morph into something else, the goals and objectives that were brought to you back in April were what I had developed to achieve all of the city council's objectives that pertain to the harbor and all things underneath my umbrella, which wasn't necessarily what the intention was in the process, because there's some things that in there that didn't really have any Harbor Advisory Board reason to have any Harbor Advisory Board input, and some things that obviously did. The intent of this work plan process is to take the city councils to keep the Harbor Advisory Board in terms of the goals and objectives focused on the city council's goals and objectives to and come up with the Harbor Advisory Board's work plan to implement the city council's goals and objectives. How we handle the Harbor Advisory Board's goals and objectives, if they can get woven, interwoven, Bill, to use your term, or otherwise injected into the council's goals and objectives. Again, still a work in progress. I think it can happen. I don't think that this work plan process is intended to take only the Harbor Advisory Board's goals and objectives, and that's what the right. City Council looks at and approves.
Right.
It's, again, it's a work in progress, and we're learning as we go. Certainly there's room for taking HAB goals and objectives, and just like future agenda items or recommendations of the Harbor Advisory Board, Marine Sanctuaries, and others that aren't necessarily something council's looking at, hey, we as a HAB recommend council look at this. So that can obviously start with the HAB's goals and objectives or other things that the HAB believes it wants to interject. So there's no definitive path here that's established yet. I think, again, it's a work in progress. So what we initially looked at back in April was all of my staff goal and object, all work plans to implement our goals and objectives, ran it by the Harbor Advisory Board. Harbor Advisory Board had its recommendations, changes, tweaks. We brought that to the City Council. We had the joint meeting. A fair number of things got carved off. And as you said, the council expressed the opinion that, you know, certainly bring us your goals and objectives too. So if there's things we want to try and interject on here, that's fine. I think there need to be, for the City Council to accept them, my understanding is they need to be City Council goals and objectives. In their adopted goals and objectives. The goals are now two-year goals. Every year, every other year, we look at goals, and then every other year, we look at overall goals. Every year, we look at objectives, and we may achieve some objectives some years, and they fall off. Some may carry over from year to year, and some may be brand new. You may look at an objective in the first year, not the second, or vice versa, the second year, not the first. So keep in mind that this HAB work plan is to assist the City Council achieve the City Council's adopted goals and objectives. If we wish to try and get a HAB goal and objective that isn't necessarily a council goal and objective, we can certainly entertain that, but it's not a given that it will automatically go on that list. Does that all make sense? Or am I talking in circles?
No, you're I think that's I understand. I just wanted to bring that out.
So
The one thing, if I may interject here, that I don't see here on this goals and objectives is the movement of the leasing department into the city hall. So that has been taken off as a goal and objective, Mr. Eric?
That is still on the city council's goal and objectives.
Why isn't it on ours?
But it's not on... Because the city's council, city manager, city council direction was to not have that be a Harbor Advisory Board directed objective, that it's a council and staff directed objective.
So we have no input?
Yeah, I think you'll, and as we move forward into that, whatever that's going to look like, yes, I think you'll have input into that with a member or two of the HAB being on whatever the group or team or ad hoc committee it is that starts evaluating what the options may be to look at that potential rearrangement. Whether those things come back to the, you know, let's say that we come up with, you know, option zero is to do nothing, and we come up with option one, two, and three, whether those options will come back to the Harbor Advisory Board for Harbor Advisory Board input or not, yet to be seen.
Well, I would seem to think that that's a very, well, okay, thank you.
So on the 26th, we took staff, we took the Harbor Advisory Board input, factored that back in to the objective and the work plan, brought that to the council on the 26th. As you noted, Bill, several things were removed from the objectives, or from the work plan list. Several things were changed, and then three things were added, and those are the three things we're looking at tonight, primarily. So council is considering adopting their final work plan at their, I want to say, the second meeting. In May, but I'm not sure. I don't have that date in front of me. I apologize. So anyhow, the three items really under consideration tonight are the three new items that the City Council put on the work plan for the Harbor Advisory Board to look at. Those were on the last page of the document. So you've got the whole document there, all the work plan items there as currently moving forward with the City Council. The other items at the bottom of the list are the human observer requirement in the groundfish fishery. As you know, the Morbay Communicoto Fund, which is managing a fair amount of quota and trawl permits to participate in that fishery, currently requires 100% human observers on the vessels participating. That's problematic, both from a space standpoint in terms of having the room to do that on small boats and the cost. It's quite a substantial cost, up to $500 per day. And in as Alan can probably attest, there's not a lot of margin in the commercial fishing world. So looking at potential ways to solve that, it's going to take regulatory changes with Pacific Fishery Management Council. And as Alan announced earlier, which was news to me, apparently on the East Coast, and is that maybe out of that lawsuit that's been brewing? It sounds like we've got... So it sounds like we've got some changes that are occurring on the East Coast in observers, and hopefully that'll migrate to the West Coast. 14% certainly sounds a heck of a lot better than 100%. So the three work plans that I came up for looking at that, and these quarters on here, these are still listed by the quarter of the actual calendar year. So Q1 is January, February, March, and so far, so on and so forth. What you're going to see in the City Council agenda is going to be, and it might be next week that they're looking at that, what you're going to see in the City Council agenda is the fiscal year quarters. So I chose not to change these, one, because I just didn't have time to do it, but two, because we've been looking at it from a calendar year basis, and I figured I'd keep it like that for now to keep the confusion down. But if you look at the City Council agenda, Q1 in 2017 is going to mean July, August, September in fiscal year 2017, but don't worry about that for now. So the work plan element one, research governance and regulations on how the fleet's currently affected. I think a lot of that's already done. We know how it's affected, and it's negatively affected. Plan element two is identify a regulatory path to affect some changes in the governance, that being in Q3, Q4 of this year, so July on. Research and identify industry supportable options. I'd be working with the Fishermen's Organization and others to see what sort of things we want to try and bring forward to the regulators. And element four would bring those options to the regulators, really Pacific Fisheries Management Council, NOAA, when we go to Washington, D.C. and others in the final quarter of this year and beginning of next year. So that would be my recommended plan for moving forward with that. You want to do these one by one, or you want to take them all at once and then go?
You can take them all at once.
Okay. So the next one, working waterfronts being the objective, and which building on that, creating a quote-unquote working waterfront policy for Morro Bay and or pursuing working waterfront designations or working waterfront guidelines, seeing if there is an actual official working waterfront designation out there. I know there's working waterfront associations and things that one can be a member of, but looking into working waterfronts or designations and guidelines and see what information is pertinent for Morro Bay for consideration. Again, it may be a Morro Bay policy where Morro Bay declares itself a working waterfront because it does certain things, or it may be that we seek some sort of official designation. Element two is develop a draft working waterfront policy for city council consideration. And element three is pursue any sort of designation or recognition if there are official designations or recognitions out there that are applicable. And that would be early in 2017. And then the third item on there, C, eelgrass mitigation, which obviously we already have an eelgrass ad hoc committee, which plays right into that. Consider pursuing changes to eelgrass regulation and mitigation in Morro Bay to the benefit of the resource and community. I think that's kind of our charter of the eelgrass committee, to look at different ways of mitigating here in town, and looking at the way it's regulated and handled to see if there's better ways of doing it that help not just our waterfront and our folks that are trying to run businesses and develop it and operate in it, but also for the resource as well. So element one would be continue with the ad hoc committee's work into research of Newport Beach mitigation model and others, including robust engagement with the National Estuary Program, who really is part of our committee as well. Element two, research and identify potential regulatory path forward. That would be seeing, probably looking again at the Newport Beach model and seeing what steps they took to get approval of their plan. Element three, consider hiring a consultant or consultancy to pursue the full regulatory process, assuming it's not going to be a very simple one. I know down Newport Beach, again, they hired several consultants to help them through that process. And then element four, develop a Morro Bay eelgrass policy for consideration of regulatory approval. So identify that path forward and then push a plan forward through the regulatory process to see if we can get approval.
Okay. Keene, do you have any questions on the three items that were added?
Yeah, to start with, the working waterfront, can you explain me a little bit more what the policy would entail? I mean, what are we talking about here?
I think it would be largely like our Fish and Community Sustainability Plan, where it draws certain conclusions and makes statements about how, and it could be something that could get developed into the General Plan, Local Coastal Plan update as well, and it's sort of an identity marker, who we believe we are as a fishing community and how we want to support our fishing community and move forward into the future with our fishing community. I think it's, and not just the community, but the waterfront. I mean, the working waterfront obviously includes commercial and recreational fishing, but in my opinion, it includes the entire working waterfront, you know, all pieces of it, from all of our lease site holders to, you know, launch ramp and mariculture and everything else going on. It's all working waterfront. So identifying and sort of defining who we are and what we are and what we want to do.
Well, you know, as we explore, hopefully, this working waterfront concept, and there is an association out there, I would seem to think that a lot of capital projects are getting funded by grants. This would be a great opportunity where we maybe can tap into their resources to try to help us maintain that identity. I think it's actually a very good idea.
So by being a part of the association, you qualify for grants?
That's what we have to explore.
So
maybe Dana, you have some knowledge on that?
Well, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, there is funding. There's bank of money and funding, like great loan products out there for working waterfronts. And from what I can see, we should just make this an agenda item that we can bring back rather than form an ad hoc committee right now or anything like that. Maybe.
No, I agree.
We just have this as a future agenda item regarding designation and definitions and any information we can start with.
But I see all these three items. I don't have any problems on adding these to our goals and objectives and having us work on them. At least I think they're very pertinent. We already have an ad hoc committee on the eelgrass. And I think we just need to know more information on the other two, the first two. The Observer, if there is going to be some changes here on the West Coast. Neil?
I have a question regarding that. The Observer program, is that federal? Is that a federal program? Or is it federal passed down to states to control?
At this point, I would like to introduce Mr. Jeremiah O'Brien, who I asked to come here to speak any questions on this item,
okay,
because he knows, he's involved with the quota fund, and he knows a lot more about it than I do. And in the past, I've said things, and he's had to correct me.
Because my question, I guess, is if just because there's a precedence on the East Coast, will the West Coast be required to follow if it's under the same program, or are we, is the program here managed and guidelined by California law?
Okay, I can actually answer that question for Jeremiah. It's a federal, it's all federal, and nothing to do with the state. The East Coast ground fishery is under a different management regime. They have this sector thing, and I may be getting on thin ice here, but we have the trawl quota quota share. What's it called?
Fund.
Yeah, program. So it's not necessarily a slam dunk that what goes on the East Coast is going to transfer over here, and we're going, and we really appreciate the City Council sticking an oar in here because we need that kind of thing to happen here, and the fisherman's voice is kind of lost in this whole process, and to have city government step in and say, you know, this isn't working for us, it's a big, big positive. But if you have any questions, Jeremiah is here, and he has a lot of knowledge on here that he has surprised me in our conversations about the nuances of this, and this is now our job to try to understand what we need, and so.
Well, we know who to go to
ask.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay.
So
thank you.
I would even, if nobody has any questions, I would even say he could get up and give us a short spiel if you feel like it, Jeremiah, because he's not always going to be able to be here, and he's going to be leaving for tuna fishing pretty soon.
Yeah, if Jeremiah could.
Well, Jeremiah, your opinion on the goal that is put down here that you acknowledge, you see it, this is something that we can tackle as a Harbor Advisory Board and come to some resolution or at least some help?
Yes, good evening again. My name is Jeremiah O'Brien, representing the Morro Bay, well, in this case, the Morro Bay Community Quota Fund, of which I am on the board of directors. So is this the appropriate time? Did you want me to tell you how that works or describe the workings of the quota fund or just whether or not that
whether or not this would be a good goal for us as a board to tackle, which would
okay
be the observers?
Okay. The answer to that would be yes. And what I mean is that support or further representation from any group, such as the Harbor Advisory Board, the City Hall, or anybody else, we can always use additional support. We've been working long and hard on many of these issues since the inception of this Catch Share program, which is separate from other programs. The Catch Share program on the West Coast deals with the West Coast, California, Oregon, and Washington. And the ground fish in the trawl sector only. And it gets extraordinarily complicated. But I will endeavor to answer any other questions you have on it. But, yes, we can always use additional support.
Do we have any other questions for Jeremiah as he's up here? No? Thank you, Jeremiah. So, Eric, would you, Alan?
One statement. I wouldn't want people to have the impression that the Observer program is affecting fishermen in general that are ground fishing. Jeremiah just pointed out that it's people that are fishing trawl quota, which is Rob Seitz with the local dragger, and people that are trying to use the quota fund. So I just want to make it clear that this is, you know, who we're talking about helping here, and the Fishermen's Organization is totally behind this. I don't want to detract anything from that. I just don't want people to have the impression that, like me, for instance, I fish groundfish in the open access program, but my observers, I'm only required to take every once in a while, and they pay for it totally. So I don't mind taking an observer under those circumstances. It's somebody that I can vent my frustration and a lot of things on, but I just wanted to make that clear.
Okay. I think this is something that we probably need to learn a little bit more of and report back. So I think this is a good agenda item. And what are you asking from us to kind of approve these other three items that have been added?
Yeah, I'll get your approval on them. And if there's anything you want to add, I think it was Neil that or Dana said maybe bring it back as a future agenda item. We can operate under whatever we approve here. Whatever the council ultimately approves, but we can bring it back as a future agenda item and just start the general discussion. If we want to get more input from Jeremiah, I'm on the quota fund as well, or we can get Dwayne Oberhoff, who's now our new executive director, if he can come in and explain, because he's an expert on it, and just probably start with an agenda item that's just a good overview of what the situation is and some opinions on how maybe to move forward. And that might enable the HAB to kind of sink its teeth into it and then sort of figure out whether it wants to ad hoc committee it or how it wants to go about.
Okay.
I have one there.
Yeah, and maybe the same thing on eelgrass. Start figuring out, you know, look at that bill, maybe get the NEP back in. Potentially see about our consultant that was helping us out on this issue. Get involved. I know he's so far Jack Mullen from Anchor QA said he'd participate just on a personal basis at this point. So maybe we look at that. We can look at all these and bring them back however we want it as future agenda items.
So in regards to the eelgrass, and I agree with all these points here, I would like to know if the city would be comfortable broadening the language and maybe including the word bank, eelgrass bank, in there, which is part of what we talked about when we formed the ad hoc committee. It was education with the possibility of a bank. And I understand it says mitigation in here, but I just want to make sure that as we're working in line with the city's goals, that if we start bringing up this bank, that it doesn't then get, I don't want to go down that road and put effort into it if it's not going to be something that is going to get listened to essentially with these goals. So I'd like to get that feedback from the city to make sure that they were comfortable within this addressing the eelgrass bank.
Okay. So I don't even need to take an official vote, but if we can get concurrence on that, I can change that wording to add that in.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay. And then as far as the consultants go, I think our ad hoc committee can definitely look into that. For example, Coast Seafood, owned by Pacific Seafood, huge corporation in the Pacific Northwest. They have Coast Seafood in Humboldt Bay. They have, for example, 1,000 acres of oyster farm, and they only farm 300 acres of that because of eelgrass, essentially. So they currently have a consultant who's been putting forward mitigation plans for them to determine how they can expand on their current lease sites. So there could be some work already being done by other consultants within the state of California that could lay groundwork for efforts that we might want to do here in Morro Bay. And so that's going to be part of the further research that our ad hoc committee does, just in line with what you were talking about in reference to the consultants. So,
I agree. I mean, whatever body of knowledge and research and consultancy has been done, if it's publicly available, yeah, that's, I think, part of our...
But I think that point of considering hiring a consultancy, I think that's important. I'm glad that's in there.
Yeah.
Now, is this so you're asking us to make a formal motion to approve these three additional items, Eric? Or do we just concur or discur?
No, I think last time we voted on them as a whole, once we got through... talked through them all, made whatever recommendations, changes. I think we made a motion and a vote to adopt them or recommend them as modified.
The only one thing, and you know, we look at some of these are broad, like basically increase revenues, or I forget the one. Okay, ensure fiscal sustainability or support economic development. You know, one of the things that will support it, I mean, that's not in here listed, is dredging. I mean, and we've talked about this over, and I still have, for 8 years, I've really wanted to dredge the Back Bay Marina. And if we can do that, and that's, I think, a very important goal. It's an important goal for the city, for the harbor, for economic vitality, and we've talked about this, and maybe it doesn't need to be placed as a separate goal, but it should be part of something. I don't know.
To add to that, do you think that there's an element in here that the dredging of the State Park Marina and determining if that's going to be a viable operation back there, is there somewhere in here that that already fits? Is there already a mechanism, or will we be discluded from talking about it?
Well, I mean, even outside of this whole goals and objectives and work plans, Harbor Advisor Board is always able to bring things to the City Council's attention and make recommendations, you know, just like the sanctuaries and other things, to move forward on certain things. We are obviously working on State Park Marina and dredging right now. Whether that needs to be a specific, discrete objective under the goals or not, obviously the Council hasn't put it on as one, although we're currently working on it. I mean, there's a ton of things that we work on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis that isn't necessarily a City Council goal and objective. Just because it's not a goal and objective doesn't mean it's not important. We're not working on it.
Well, I think I just want to make sure, and Neil brought this the point up, is that if it's not here in writing, then it's kind of like I have to write a letter, you know, as the chair to get the City Council to even listen to it. And I'm just not real comfortable with that process. That's all. Gene?
Well, I understand that we're going to be making a recommendation on these three items. Will we be, after that, will we have a chance to talk about any of these other items on the goals and objectives?
I suppose, but, you know, I don't know, Eric. I mean,
yeah, if you look at them, there's a lot of HAB participation, participatory elements in all of those.
So I would like to have maybe a motion to approve the three goals added under other. Would anyone like to?
I move that we approve the three new goals.
Okay. Alan is approving them. Do I hear a second?
Can I discuss?
I'm sorry.
I'll wait for comment, I guess.
Alan made a motion. I have a second with Dana. Do I hear any comment? Neil?
So just to clarify, because this happened, you know, last time when we were kind of given goals and we, at the meeting in front of City Council, when I was told that these were our goals that we brought forward, I'm not saying that they weren't goals that we had discussed, but I was a little bit surprised to find that, you know, I think our window of opportunity for input had passed and they were already on the table. So your point that you bring up about the dredging, I want to make sure we don't just pass over that, and if this is an opportunity to make changes, I'd like to hear definitively if we can add the language of the dredging in the State Park Marina and that project as a whole to an agenda in this current format. You know, we're approving three goals. Can we approve four goals?
I think that that would be something that we should discuss after we approve these
three.
Three.
Okay.
So, any other comment? Gene?
I thought Neil wanted to add the Hillcrest debts.
Banking. Yeah, that comes. Yeah, I was going to ask, clarify. Right. That's part of what the motion was, even though I didn't hear it.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
I meant to include that, but I didn't. But I do include it.
Okay. So Alan has made a recommendation to add under the eelgrass, making sure that we put banks in there. And Dana has approved, seconded it. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, at this point in time then, Eric, I would like to open it up to the board here to discuss any of the other items that we have here in our three sheets. Gene?
Okay. Here we go. Up on number six, when we're talking about supporting economic development, I noticed that in J and in K, we talk about the Maritime Museum and the Marine Service Facility, but up in G, up in J and K, we take some action. But up in the G, which is the aquarium project, we take no action at all. It seemed to me that they're all projects that we should have some kind of input on. That's one comment. On number 10, which is, hang on a second here, I got to scroll down.
So can
city
I?
City operations.
Yeah.
Can I address that before you move
sure,
on?
Sure, go ahead.
So that I don't have to try to remember. So on the aquarium, and maybe it's because they're little tiny lines, on the top of the page right above Maritime Museum, under aquarium, have review and recommendations to council on the Central Coast Aquarium proposal after submission. So Central Coast Aquarium folks are putting together a proposal, doing a lot more engineering and design work beyond just the real basic shell that they gave us here a few months ago back in January. Currently on the list is once they submit that to the city, part of our plan is to bring that to the Harbor Advisory Board for the Harbor Advisory Board's input, review, and recommendation to the City Council on it.
Okay.
So there is an element for the aquarium on there.
You probably didn't see it on your computer.
Okay.
It's hard to see.
Okay, so now we're going to go down to goal number 10 under H. Here again, I see that evaluate transferring harbor maintenance functions to public works. I see a no action that we'd be able to take. I would like to have some input on that.
So if you look at WPE2, Work Plan Element 2, we'll identify functions and level of service document. Work Plan Element 2, working with Public Works Management, develop models, including consideration performance parameters, those things that we recommended last time for the City Council who went with it, for transferring functions to Public Works, including HAB review, input, and recommendations to Council.
So we will have that, Gene.
Okay. I just see the NA up above or the first category. And then on the last part, my personal comment, I'm disappointed that the City Council does not want to hear any recommendation from the Harbor Advisory Board concerning lease site negotiations and management from the Harbor Department. I realize that they were going to form a committee and we will be part of it, but I would think that they should listen to us at giving them advice, not as a whole board.
I concur. So, Alan, do you have anything, any comments on these goals and objectives that are laid out here?
No, I don't.
Okay. Lynn? I think that one thing that we can do here is the Harbor Advisory Board, and I've taken a look at it under harbor maintenance. Again, I think that this gives us an opportunity here, if we really study it, is maybe we can turn this around and actually prove to them our value, the City Council's value, but also take some things away that the public works are doing and maybe controlling a little bit more. So I think this does give us an opportunity to really solidify our position here at the harbor, and I think we need to do that. Neil?
Changing subject, but still related, but yeah. Just from the point you just made, which I agree, back to what I was saying during the motion, the comments of the motion, would it be possible to put in language in the supporting economic development? I see the State Park Marina as a possible economic development that could benefit the city of Morro Bay, and would it be unreasonable to put that project in there?
I would love to see that in there, Eric.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
I
really would.
I mean, it could be pretty easily, I think it could fall in the goal above goal five, ensure fiscal sustainability, which is much the same as economic development, obviously. Economic development is new things, in my mind. Ensure fiscal sustainability is look at existing things, and although they're interrelated, I can see under budget forecast, ensure fiscal sustainability.
I guess.
WPE 5, research and investigate new and or enhanced revenue streams with the Harbor Advisory Board input and recommendation.
Yeah.
State Park Marina could easily fall under that.
Right.
Because that's a new revenue stream. It would be.
Right. Yeah.
For us. So it could all easily fall into there. So moving forward, we've already got it. I don't think I need and want to try to add that.
Okay.
Have the City Council specifically call that out in there. That'll be part of our, when we get with the HAB and start, you know, I'm looking at probably a meeting where that's an agenda item. Okay, everybody, public, HAB, what are your ideas? Boom. State Park Marina.
Okay.
Right.
Do
all
that.
Right. That's
and
the mechanism
and
I
put
was
on the list.
Looking for.
Yep.
So there it is.
Thank
you. I want to add, while I've got the microphone here, from some public comment we heard earlier, the public safety scrub and Alan, your comments. Where that is, no, it hasn't dropped off the edge of the earth. As you know, we looked at everything under the Muni Code and under our rules and regulations and recommended a slew of changes. The city, we're now looking at not just the public safety aspect of the municipal code, but the city in general is looking at a lot of aspects of the municipal code. They're doing a business, quote unquote, a business scrub where they're looking at sort of business unfriendly things that are in there or impediments to business that can be reasonably changed. Public safety is another one of the ones we're looking at. We did look at this issue back then. We did make some recommendations. I'm slowly but surely piecing those together into a cohesive package to bring back to the Harbor Advisory Board. As per my plan here, I'm hoping to bring the first round of those back to the Harbor Advisory Board sometime in the next month and a half to two. So seeing how we typically don't have a July meeting, it may slide into August, but I'm hoping to bring all those elements back to the Harbor Advisory Board, maybe piecemeal depending on how it goes. And then eventually I write up what the recommended changes were. I put my staff spin on them, get those back in front of the Harbor Advisory Board, put a stamp of approval, hopefully, on them, and then those eventually move on to the City Council. So it is in the works. It's not something we just did for the sake of giving you guys something to think about.
Okay.
Just have had a lot of other things on the agenda to do.
And they would be underneath our goals and objectives? Because I'd be concerned that the City Council says, well, we're just too busy. We don't have time to look at this thing right now.
It's currently, it's currently the City Council's goals and objectives to look at the quote-unquote public safety scrub of the municipal code. Just by
goal number
being having great foresight, we already started into that last year and got a long way in the process.
Thank you.
Because we're so clever.
Okay. Well, is this an appropriate time? Have you talked to this gentleman here, John Gillespie, Eric?
Yeah, but it's not an item I can discuss because,
okay,
number one, it's not agendized, and number two, it's
all right,
an ongoing
all right
enforcement issue.
All right. So I think right now here we have concluded our business items, and this would be the time to declare any future agenda items right now. Dana?
Yeah, as I said previously, I'd like to see the working waterfront designation information regarding all that is on our goals and objectives, if we could have that as a future agenda item.
I would second that.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I would just like to have on our goals and objectives, I'm making a motion that we bring back for a future agenda item the working waterfront designation information.
I would like to second that. Any other future agenda items?
Yeah, I have one.
Yeah, Alan?
I've heard some fishermen have talked to me about the kind of the encroachment on the Measure D prohibitions in the area of the north end of the harbor, and the fact that the new slips that have been put in there are predominantly yachts, and that commercial boats that come down that can't get a city slip but would like to tie up in a slip, there's yachts there instead. And I would like to see that on the agenda, some discussion of the discrepancy between what Measure D says and what's actually going on.
Okay. I would second that, too.
So to get these declared and accepted, we need concurrence of a majority of the board. Doesn't necessarily, like I said, doesn't have to take a official vote per se, but we need concurrence of the board.
Okay, so the first one that we wanted to put on there was the working support. Waterfront.
I support that too.
Okay.
Okay, so, and then the second one we wanted to put on there was the Measure D, the intent and really what is going on to discuss that. I would like to discuss that. Jean? Lynn?
Neil?
Okay. And then Dana?
Well, it is on our Harbor Advisory Board goals and objectives that we put together. It's the last one that we have on there. So, yeah, I guess we should.
Okay. Anything else? Hearing none, myself and Eric will go over these future agenda items and bring them up in appropriate times. Hopefully, the next meeting, we'll have some things to discuss. Do I hear a motion to adjourn? Lynn moves. Second?
I'll second that.
Okay, Neil seconds it. All in favor? Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
You didn't want to ask her that. You already know she doesn't get it out. We don't have a boat hall office, so.
That's incredible.